I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, our usual barbershop crew reviews the week in the news. But first, Thursday night, Howard University in Washington, D.C. hosted the All-American Presidential Forum. The 8 Democratic presidential hopefuls met at the historically black college to talk about issues of particular concern to that audience, ranging from HIV/AIDS to Darfur to crime and punishment. The forum was moderated by PBS talk show host Tavis Smiley, formerly of NPR, and the panel was exclusively comprised of journalists of color, including me. In the studio today to talk about last night's events are the two other panelists who questioned the candidates, Ruben Navarrete, syndicated columnist and member of the editorial board of the San Diego Union-Tribune, and Dwayne Wickham, syndicated columnist for USA Today and Gannett News Service. Thanks for joining me, Ruben, Dwayne.
Thanks.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Oh, it was great. It was great. And Michelle, I can't let you off the hook. You know, I'm also, don't forget to mention, along my other things here, I am also a member of the barbershop.
I wasn't going to forget you.
I got my chair and everything at the barbershop.
That's right. I wasn't going to forget you.
Don't give my chair away.
No, indeed. Now, after every debate, there's always a discussion about who the winner is. And I don't know if you find that a productive conversation, but I have to ask, Dwayne, do you think there was a winner?
Yeah, I'm almost punting on this question. I frankly think the winner was the black community. I mean, to the extent that I was concerned, and I think many people in the audience were concerned about the kinds of issues that would be discussed of importance to African Americans. I think African Americans were the winner. This was historic in terms of the context in which this forum was set, the discussion, the level of discussion, the kinds of questions and the issues. You know, this wasn't one question in a 90-minute debate that somehow was meant to cater to the interests of minorities. This was an evening in which 8 of presidential wannabes were put to the test, being asked questions about things that interest people of color.
Okay. Ruben, what about you? Do you think there was a winner?
I do, and I'm going to answer the question in a more conventional way and actually give you a name. But before I do that, I want to talk to, because I like Dwayne's answer as well, I think. But it's important to sort of differentiate something at the beginning. We sort of fall into the trap, I think, all of us in America, of sort of using terms interchangeably, like the minorities, people of color, journalists of color. It's true. In this regard, this was a forum that really excelled at catering to and speaking to the black community and presenting issues of concern to the African-American community. That's not necessarily synonymous with, quote, overall people of color. So having said that, I would like to have seen more questions directed at Hispanics, about Hispanics, incorporating them into the fold for sure. And certainly the immigration issue, which could not have been more timely that very day. So that said, it's all good, though. It's all good. It needs to happen. What happened last night needs to happen. It's just that other things need to happen, too, so that it's a big picture. In terms of the name that I would throw out as the winner, I think it's Hillary. Mm-hmm. I think Barack Obama walked in just at home field, at home base. And I think it became clear when you pulled up to the auditorium, so many Obama supporters out there with their placards. This was there were very high expectations for Obama. I think he did very well, but I don't think he knocked it out of the park. I think in order to knock it out of the park, you have to take a look at what he said at Selma, for instance, when he went and he gave that speech in the black church and he really, you know, raised the crowd. He really raised the roof on the place. I don't think that happened last night. On the other hand, the person who did sort of raise the roof was Hillary Clinton. She's the one who got the standing ovation for the comment on the AIDS question, and she did very well. I got to give her credit for that. So I think the lesson I took away from last night is that the Clintons, both of them together, are not going to concede the black vote to Barack Obama.
See, I think I would disagree with you only about the fact that that Barack Obama had home court advantage, because I would argue that the Clintons had home. I think Senator Clinton had home court advantage. If you look at who was in that crowd, a lot of the old civil rights guard, as it were,
right,
many of whom are in her corner,
right,
who are supporting her, a lot of members of the caucus, the black caucus, who are supporting her. I think a lot of the established black political leadership is supporting her. A lot of cultural figures who are out there, too, like Harry Belafonte, Terry McMillan. Mm-hmm. I have no idea who they're supporting, but you have a sense that a lot of sort of black intellectuals are with Barack Obama. But just talk a little bit. Let's play the moment that you said that you referenced where Hillary Clinton was answering my question, if I may say, about
that's right,
the incidence of AIDS, particularly among black teenagers. Yeah. And this is the answer that got the crowd to its feet.
If HIV/AIDS were the leading cause of death of white women between the ages of 25 and 34, there would be an outraged outcry in this country.
Duane, I was trying to catch your eye when people jumped to their feet. I was just wondering, how did you interpret that?
Well, let me say something about this, because I think there's an interesting subplot here to this whole discussion about winners and losers. I think Hillary came into the evening knowing that her polling numbers were slipping among African Americans. Barack Obama has edged a little bit ahead of her. And Obama came into the evening understanding that he is a black man running for president, who can't make too much of the fact that he's a black man and still appeal to a broad audience. So I think he was tempered by that consideration, and I think she understood she had to go for it. And she did so with gusto.
I was going to ask if there are any, was there a loser in the debate? I don't know if you feel that's a fair question, but let me play what I think was a groan moment. You know, if there's a kind of the standing ovation moment, there's also the groan moment, and this was supplied by Delaware Senator Joe Biden.
I spent last summer going through the black sections of my town holding rallies in parks, trying to get black men to understand it's not unmanly to wear a condom. Getting women to understand they can say no. Getting people in the position where testing matters. I got tested for AIDS. I know Barack got tested for AIDS. There's no shame in being tested for AIDS.
And of course, Barack Obama quickly clarified.
I groaned at that.
What is up? What's up with the? What's going on there, Ruben?
You got to take a look at that question in two parts. And I was already offended by the first part of it. Okay, when he talks about, you know, I got tested for AIDS and Barack got tested for AIDS. Well, then at that point, it sort of, you know, hits up the softball for Barack Obama to hit out of the park, which he did when he made a joke later. And he said, I just want to make clear to everybody, I was in Kenya and I got tested with Michelle, my wife. We both got tested. Everybody knows this. And it became sort of a laugh moment. But
I think he saved him, by the way.
I think he saved him. I think Barack, it was a great opportunity for Obama to hit out of the park. But I took offense to the first part of it. Okay, here's why. I think African Americans and Latinos, and this is one of those things that we have in common, we need to be much more sensitive when you hear that kind of patronizing, condescending rap from Democrats and liberals that I spent last summer in the black community trying to convince black folks that it's important to wear a condom. I mean, thank you, Senator, okay? You know, and speaking for the Latino community, you know, we knew how to take care of our kids and wipe their noses before you came along and showed us how. And I think that's the problem that you have. And I think that younger African Americans and younger Latinos are just less likely to put up with that stuff. Mm-hmm. So frankly, I took offense to the first part of it. I think Biden's a fine guy. I like Biden fine, but I think it speaks to that old kind of condescending liberalism that says.
And of course, it's strike two for Biden with another comment involving Barack Obama, where he was on, I think it was the Jon Stewart's show, where he talked about how he's articulate. And, just how many editorials were written by articulate? What do you mean? He's a lawyer. It's his job to talk. Why is he articulate?
Right. And, condescending strike two.
It's a strike two. Duane Wickham, Ruben was talking about this earlier. Is there a question you really wish you had gotten to that you didn't get to ask? And of course, you know, Tavis likes him better than us, Ruben. You know, he got three questions.
We only got two each. So
Dad always liked you best, Duane. But anyway. But other than that.
Well, I didn't get to ask the affirmative action question. And I think there is one to be asked about what next? Where do we go from here? We had the Supreme Court ruling handed down yesterday. But we also have this inching forward that's taking place at the state level, where states, Washington State, California, now Michigan, are rolling back affirmative action. It's not enough to say we're going to stand up against this tidal wave, because this tidal wave is actually sweeping the country. A majority of Americans are uncomfortable after nearly 250 years of slavery, 100 years of Jim Crow law, and just about 35 or 40 years of efforts to roll back the devastation that those things brought upon us. Most Americans now have tired of the effort. Mm-hmm. What next? Do we have a new idea? Is there a new approach, a new way to tackle this issue? Americans all say the vast majority of Americans support equality of opportunity. But when you start talking about how that good phrase translates into action to bring about a reduction of inequality, people are stumped. Political leaders need to begin to bring us new ideas. And I wanted to talk to the candidates about that.
Mm-hmm. Ruben, you want to talk more about that?
I do. I think I have mixed feelings about what the Supreme Court did yesterday, and for the following reasons. Let me just state the first part of it. I agree, and I'm sympathetic to the concerns that Roberts and Alito do not, and the conservative majority now in the court, do not have the best interests of certain folks at heart or in mind. And I have often written to the point of ridicule about this notion of, I'm just going to get in trouble. I'm going to warn you right now, okay? I'm going to warn you right
That's
now.
That's okay. I'll steer the mail to you.
I have written to the point of ridicule, making fun of the idea of white male victims, that white men are somehow categorically, systematically being discriminated against in our society to a point where they are now a new protected class. I make fun of that because in your world and in Duane's world and in my world, I just don't see that. I see plenty of white men who are doing just fine. Thank you very much. However, having said that, I'm interested in what I'm hearing from places like Louisville, Kentucky, which was one of the cases, one of the cities impacted by this decision, where black parents, and now I'm perking up, now I'm listening, black parents are saying that they're glad that this decision went this way because they don't feel that the desegregation plan in Louisville has served them well over these last decades, and they want to try something new. Now, here's what I think needs to happen. If African Americans are in the room together and Latinos are in a room together and there are no white folks in the room, I think they can have a conversation about whether it's time to move off of these kinds of desegregation plans and affirmative action plans for the good of the community, not for the reasons that Roberts and Alito want to do it, which is to sort of liberate, emancipate this oppressed white male. You get it? There's a difference. The strongest and most compelling arguments I find for doing away with this stuff is that they are not the remedies that they were sold to us.
Well, the irony, of course, is that 53 years after Brown v. Board of Ed, most kids go to segregated schools. I mean, they're not segregated by law, but they're segregated in fact. And Latino students, as I understand it, are the most likely to go to predominantly Latino schools. I mean, white students, you know, 80% of white students are in predominantly white schools. 60% of black students are in predominantly black schools. So,
and the truth be told, Michelle, that's as we would have it. You know, the truth of the matter is this whole push for the Brown decision wasn't really about bringing about integration of public education. We were trying to end separate but equal because it was separate and unequal. We wanted to equalize educational opportunity. And we thought that, I say we, but I think the black community thought that if you pushed for integration, whites would resist that by giving you equality. They'd make our schools as good as their schools. They'd pay our teachers as well as their teachers.
Interesting. So you would have liked to have heard more conversation about what's the post-Brown strategy? What's the post-Brown? I know that was one of the questions that I didn't get to ask about the graduation rate. Some of the candidates brought it up anyway, sort of the graduation rates. Reuben, you wanted to talk about immigration. I was sorry that we didn't get into more. As you were saying earlier, that I think we conflate, you know, minority as a metaphor when it's not really accurate. Sometimes there are competing and distinct interests, and that's something I would have liked to have heard, particularly the Democrats talk about, is the interests of African-American workers and Latino migrants are not identical. Right. And I think that that would have been interesting to lift out. How would you have raised that?
I would.
Don't give us away all your powder in case you get to question the Republicans.
I wrote a column this morning about the question I wouldn't have asked. Other things I talked about in the column, certainly. But one of the things I think that would have been interesting to do with a group like this is you try to put them in a box. You try to put them between a rock and a hard place, where that's the hardball question. It's not the softball. It sort of says, okay, now you've got to choose. Do you want to say something in your comments that pander to and African Americans, or do you want to pander to Latinos? But I'm going to frame a question where it's impossible to do both, you see. And I think that that's an interesting challenge for them. And I would have phrased it something like this. You know, you have a strain running through a current of debate in the immigration debate, an argument that African Americans are hurt by illegal immigration. They're being displaced from neighborhoods. They're being displaced from jobs and the like. And African Americans have been talking about this for some time. There's actually African American groups that have spouted out to fight illegal immigration. And recently, in Los Angeles, an activist there, black community activist Ted Hayes, who is, you know, people feel differently about him in Los Angeles, said something just outrageous. He said that that African Americans are facing now the biggest threat since slavery in the form of illegal immigration. To their credit, other African Americans in Los Angeles, like Earl Fari Hutchinson and others, blasted him for it. And I say good for them. I'm glad they did. So I think there's a lot in there to talk about, and the candidates could have talked about that and said, well, what do you all come down on this? You know, are you sympathetic to one group or another?
And that's we have only a couple of sort of minutes left. I wanted to talk about the fact that the debate kind of focused on a number of issues raised by a book that Tavis Smiley edited and compiled called The Covenant with Black America. Reuben, you raised an interesting point that we've kind of been dancing around, which is on the one hand, the debates were described as the all-American presidential forums, and you said yes, but it focused mainly on issues of particular concern to African Americans. It was kind of ironic that there was that particular focus on the day that the Supreme Court said, you know what, we need to move beyond racial awarenesses and, you know. And so I just wonder, do you feel that, I'm wondering, do you think that this kind of debate that focuses on issues of particular interest will set a precedent? Or do you think it's the kind of thing that in this whole conversation about color blindedness, other people will look askance at in the years ahead, Duane?
Well, yeah, I want to jump in here before Reuben takes this on. I think it was fitting. I think it was appropriate. You know, despite our numbers, and they're nearly as approximate as those of Hispanics, we don't have the outlets. We don't own the television stations. Hispanics have television stations that give them the outlets that will allow them to have those kinds of discussions and raise those issues. We don't have that opportunity. Tavis gave it to us last night, and I think it was appropriate.
Okay. Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Reuben, you'll have to write a column about it, or you can talk about it next week.
No problem.
Duane Wickham is a syndicated columnist for USA Today and Gannett News Service. And Reuben Navarrete is a nationally syndicated columnist, member of the editorial board of the San Diego Union-Tribune. He's also a commentator for CNN.com and a regular on our Friday roundtable, The Barbershop.
Yes.
It was great working with you both, and I so enjoyed it. I hope we get to do it again. We were all panelists on the All-American Presidential Forum on PBS last night. And thanks for joining us here in the studio today.
Good to be with you.